back now to Dr. Malachi Martin, who is my guest. Doctor, a couple quick questions before we go back to the phones.
Yeah.
Doctor, was that movie, The Exorcist, based on a real case? I meant to ask you that.
Yes, it was. It was. It was based on a real case, but it was highly Hollywoodized. Do you understand me?
Yes.
Because the reality was very different. It was a landmark case, actually, way back in the 1950s. And it was a genuine possession case of a young boy. They made it into a girl, the Exorcist movie itself.
Yes.
But it was a landmark case and was written up only 2 years ago with the actual thing, the actual history itself, published by Thomas Allen. And he just simply wrote it up as a reporter. It's fascinating stuff.
I believe it was in the St. Louis area, wasn't it?
That's right, it was. It was. And the actual telling of this thing, the history of it, is much more fascinating than the book. It's much more fascinating. It's an amazing thing. But it was a landmark case.
Was there a loose connection to the real case?
Yes, there was. There was a loose connection. But it's very loose altogether.
Nevertheless, I shall never forget the end of that movie. You mentioned there was a case of somebody going out a window.
That's right. There was.
Where was that?
That was in Washington, D.C.
Resulted in a death?
Yep. It is equivalent to defenestration.
Doctor, there was... there was another movie that I saw once called The Seventh Sign.
I never saw that one.
No, it doesn't matter. It talked in the movie about the guff, the place from which souls come, new souls imparted to new human beings born. And it theorized that one day that guff became empty and there were no more souls and it began the end of all. Is there an endless supply of souls?
Well, put it like this, God can go on creating souls as much as he likes. In that sense, there's an endless supply, but they're not just hanging around someplace, like in cold storage, waiting for bodies. You know, that's a bit of fancy.
Yes, no doubt.
It's a bit of fancy.
All right, well, this following is not fancy. It's awfully serious. We're drawing a lot of serious comments, and I'm going to read this to you and get your reaction.
Sure.
Dr. Martin, I have recently been fighting suicide.
Yes.
I was at a point where I gave up on life because of my sexuality.
Yes.
I'm gay. I've known that for a long time and have never wanted to be that way.
Yes.
I once gave up and came close to suicide and tried to invite forces toward me that would help me attain the goal.
Yes.
Now, however, I don't want to die, but I find myself being compelled to this route very often. I feel something is pulling me to kill myself. How do I deal with it? I know the Catholic Church condemns homosexuality, but am I really as evil as these forces that are driving me to kill myself? How do I overcome it?
The answer is that you are not as evil as these forces would have you believe. And the persuasion that you are evil is merely a means of getting you to despair and say, what's the point? Let me kill myself. You need a good confessor. You need a good advisor, as well as perhaps some therapy. But therapy won't cure this. It's a question of asking God's mercy and getting it. And getting absolution for sins and starting the long process of cultivating friendship with God. It can be done, and a good priest will help you, and there are good priests.
All right. On behalf of a lot of people out there, I'm going to ask this. If someone wanted to try to ask you, Father, a personal question, is there a way to do it by writing to you?
Yes, there is.
I know you have a web page.
I have a web page, but perhaps they want to make it more private than that. In that case, they can address a letter to me at the following address, 217 East 66th Street, New York, New York, 10021. That will be confidential. I may never answer, but I usually answer all my letters.
Well, that's going to be a chore. That's going to be some chore. That'll keep you busy.
But
217 East 66th Street, New York, New York, 10021.
That's right.
All right. In addition, you do have a web page, and I presume somebody could send you email?
Yes, they can.
All right. That web page is linked on mine, so a lot of my audience will know my web page. You can go there and link immediately to Dr. Martin's. On the first-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Yes, I'm calling from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yes, sir.
My name is Father Seraphim. I'm a member of the Russian Orthodox Church. And,
yes, sir.
Hello, Father Malachi.
Hello, Father. How are you?
Very good. We've been hearing an awful lot. I'm a member of the Russian Church Abroad, which is old calendar, and very opposed to the ecumenical movement.
Gotcha.
And with the Balamon document accepting, basically was against the Uniatism, but
yes.
A mutual acceptance of both the Roman Church and the Eastern Church of Sacraments both ways. And the Patriarch of Constantinople, as you well know, is trained at the Oriental Institute by the Jesuits in Rome.
That's right.
I was wondering if you have any insight. Both he and Pope John Paul have both expressed that their desire is for the Church to unite, the two, as they say, called the two lungs of the body of Christ
to unite by
the year 2000. What insight do you have in this?
Well, I'll tell you, Father, I didn't get your name. Father what?
Father Seraphim.
Father Seraphim. Father Seraphim, I wish I had better news for you in this matter. I can tell you exactly where we stand in the matter.
Uh-huh.
Both Bartholomew and Alexei of Moscow, but talking about Bartholomew as the head of Constantinople, church, I have both stressed that at the present moment there's nothing in sight, there's no union in sight, for the simple reason that basic questions are so outstanding that unless there was a miracle overnight, we have no solution to the problem of jurisdiction. There's great goodwill, there's no doubt about that, and I expect, Father Seraphim, that within a few years, we will have general permission to communicate each other.
Uh-huh.
I think we will have, de facto at the present moment, there are Greek Orthodox that share Catholic communion and Catholics that share Greek Orthodox communion.
Correct.
With the connivance and the agreement of local priests and local bishops, too.
Right.
But that should be done, though, officially by the heads of Orthodoxy and the head of the Roman Catholic Church. We are pretty far from that, I think, between you and me, Father Seraphim. I'd rather be realistic about it.
How does the Pope see the Balamon document, was against Uniatism, but did accept on a unilateral basis, accept the validity of both churches and their sacraments?
Oh, it did. And by the way, we didn't even need that document because we have always accepted the validity of Orthodox sacraments. My God. For instance, when Greek Orthodox are dying and they have a Catholic spouse or a Catholic, I absolved them with the Greek priest. We both worked together.
Yes. I'm a layman's question for me, and we deal with this all the time on the air.
Sure.
Over all of human history, so many men have killed so many men in the name of their creator.
That's right. They have. We know that. We're just coming to this realization, but we still do it, you know, to a large degree.
Yes, we do.
We still do it, and it is an aberration. I mean, you had, for instance, in the First World War and the Second World War, you had the example of French chaplains to the French armed forces, invoking God's grace for victory over the Germans. And you had on the German side, German chaplains invoking God's help for Germans to have a victory over the French. You know?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, it becomes at a certain stage ridiculous. And it's counterproductive. This is a stage to which religions have gone, and I think they're now getting to the stage of saying it's all foolishness. There's no such thing as God sanctifying killing.
Well,
or industrial slaughter.
That's what I always thought, and I think that has moved many away from faith.
It sure has, and it has disaffected many Catholics and many believers, both Jewish and Muslim and Christian and Catholic.
All right.
It disaffected them, and it's our own fault. It's our own fault. It's not God's fault.
I suspect much. Yes, indeed. I suspect much of what occurs on Earth is free will and all that.
Sure.
West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hi.
Yeah. Good evening, Art.
Good morning,
I guess.
Good morning, everybody.
Bob from Pocatello.
Bob.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Good morning, Father. Art, we thank you for getting some balance in your show and.
Glad it pleases you. What is your question?
Well, yes, Father Malachi, thank you very much. I'm not of your faith, but...
That's all right. You believe in God.
Understood. And we according to Scripture, give thanks for the good works of all men. And
sure. Agreed.
Do you feel that, essentially, that people... I got a book... written by a man named Courtney Brown, which who was a guest on our show, and read it. And in that book, the question is this, and let me throw the question out before I give the background. Are people sometimes deceived in believing they are following truth and light when they might not be? And let me give you, for instance, in that book, he said that the good spirit that he thought was Christ was a translucent being, but at the same time, he said the purpose of his visitation to this man was to write the book, and at the same time, he renounced the time of Christ in there, the name of Jesus. And I wonder if you could expand on that as to why the name of Jesus, if there's no other name under heaven wherein mankind might be glorified. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the only thing is that Christianity holds there was one Savior, his name was Jesus. He was born in Nazareth, he died in Calvary, and he was the Son of God. And that in his name, all men can be saved, all men and women can be saved to be expanded, as we moderners are now, although all men... But the point is this, that that's the essence of Christianity. And there's no other name given to us as that of a Savior, the universal Savior, who is God and man. That's about as much light as I can shed on it.
Question that has always bothered me, and
yes,
maybe you can answer it. If I understand correctly,
yes,
a child that is not a Christian,
yes,
who becomes an adult and dies
yes,
without Christianity,
yes,
may not go to heaven, may not...
may well go to heaven, too. It all depends.
On?
It all depends on the child's will, what he or she does with her will. Put it like this. Not crudely, but put it as bluntly as possible. Art. If a good Muslim, or a good Jew, or a good Mormon, or a good Buddhist lives their life according to their lights as best they can, if they really avoid sin, and they can get the grace of going to heaven, but that grace comes to them through Jesus, even though they don't know him. So, no, they're not excluded from heaven.
It may be. That answers a question I've long had. I always was under the impression that if one is not baptized...
one can't go to heaven. No, that's not so.
It's not so.
That's not so. The equivalent of baptism, the cleansing of sin, and therefore the being pleasing to God, can take place through the grace of Christ.
There are many paths.
There are many paths. The only thing is that... it's difficult to avoid sin. It's difficult to be a good man, a good woman. It's difficult. The grace of God is necessary. And how many men and women achieve that? God only knows. But they're not excluded from heaven just by not being Christians. They can get the grace of Christ by living their lives as they should.
All right. That's a good answer. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hello.
Good morning, Art, and Father Martin.
Good morning, sir.
First of all, I'd like to say that a man like you I'm sorry, I was just trying to be complimentary.
Where are you, sir?
I am calling from Valparaiso, Indiana.
All right,
Valparaiso. Yeah.
You have a question.
Yes, I've had a problem since I was a child, and it has to do with what I consider in the harassment category.
Yes.
They seem to be wolf spirits. And
yes.
And I'm wondering if you have any type of familiarity with these type of things. I've had a recent experience, but I can spare you that if you don't have a lot of time.
Well, that depends on Art, really. He's the boss of the time here. But I'll tell you something. This is not an unknown thing. You're not telling me anything new.
Okay.
And it can be dealt with.
A wolf spirit. What does that mean, Doctor?
Well, it means that some demon is taking the form of a wolf. That's all it means.
Is that all that it means?
Oh, yes. They take the form of wolves or of dogs or snakes.
When I was a child, I used to watch the Late Late Show, and I was very frightened by, like, Wolfman movies and things like that. Do they take advantage of fears?
Of course they do. But there must have been some... I don't know your history, so we haven't the time. But there must be something in your background, either generational or your parents or yourself.
I am half French.
Uh-huh. Well, that's... Till les Français sont aussi bien, tu sais.
One quick thing. A person that claimed to be a seer had said that there was a person that was with me, and when I was at the place that she had said that, there was nobody with me, and she said that this was a large person. Could that have been a guardian angel? And that's the only other question that I have.
It could have been a guardian angel, but by this time the guardian angel should have announced himself.
Is fear an open door?
Is what?
Is fear...
Yes, it is.
...an open door?
It is an open door.
Surely you cannot go into a room to perform an exorcism with fear that overcomes your ability to deal with the fight ahead.
No, you cannot, Art. You're absolutely right. You can't. Fear does open a door. It doesn't open a window and makes you vulnerable. That's why I said that you can measure your love of God and trust in God by the amount of fear in your heart.
It's a lot like going into battle as a soldier, isn't it?
It is.
You cannot, as a soldier, be paralyzed with fear.
No.
If you do, you're going to be taken down.
You can't fight. You're not going to fight. You'll be taken down.
All right, Doctor. Stand by. We'll be right back to you. You've done very well. If you would like a copy of this program, I've got a million faxes asking that question. You may get it by calling 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. Please write it down. 1-800-917-4278. We'll be right back. Now to my guest, Dr. Malachi Martin in Manhattan, where I suspect the sun is probably beginning to come up.
Well, it's not quite up yet. There's a little bit of rain and rain clouds here.
I see.
But it's still a good morning, though.
Not one of the 3 days of darkness somewhere.
No, it's just to be good old American rain. You know, and it's probably the tail end of some. A hurricane or something out in the Atlantic. Life is good.
Life is good. Life is great. Doctor, a couple of facts questions.
Sure.
Do possessed people tend to cluster together or associate with each other?
Yes, they do.
Are there people in high government positions, such as mayors, councilmen, even presidents, national leaders, in your view, who are possessed?
I have known leaders, without saying at what level, municipal, state, or federal, who I've known who were possessed. Yes. I don't say which country even, but yes, certainly.
Are there things, Father, that in the course of a exorcism have occurred that you would not ever talk about publicly?
Yes, there are. There are. Things connected with somebody's personal shame, things that are very derogatory to a country or a race, and then a third category of things which are forms of blasphemy that hurt you to know.
That hurt you to know.
Even to know it hurts you, yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, it hurts you to know it, so I just know. I wouldn't tell anybody.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Martin. Hello.
Yes, hello.
Where are you, please?
From Tujunga, Reverie, California.
Yes.
Okay. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning, Art.
Yeah,
yes.
Good morning to the world, really.
That's right.
I'm wondering whether or not a person can be possessed, first part of this question, and not have any fear. Does that mean it's a complete...
Not have any fear. Not have any fear of what?
Of anything. Of virtually feeling that... from the earliest days of my recollection, of my walk onto one side of the hill or the other, has allowed me to experience something that I've always had a notion that may be playing with the dark side.
Yes.
But I wonder if it's possible to have a possession by, as you say, one generation to the next, with a spirit or a demon that has to be not considered really that malevolent, someone more like...
Well, you may not consider it so. The question is, can you be possessed and be, in effect, comfortable with that? Is that your question?
Yeah, something like if my family went back to the Borgias.
All right.
Those who are perfectly possessed are quite comfortable and don't want to change.
You could have four children and love your children.
Oh, yes.
And love those things in life? Certainly, yes.
Yes, but you'll hand on something. Because, look, my friend, I will probably never have the pleasure of meeting you, but I know this much, that if we were to meet, if you meet anybody, if you have some interchange with anybody, even on the telephone, even by this radio satellite that is linking us now, you modify the person morally. You've modified me already, and I've modified you. And Art has modified me, and I've modified you. There's always... We human beings are not machines. We receive indelible impressions from each other, even at a distance. And therefore, you influence everybody according to the good or the bad in you. And therefore, you can't simply say that I can have four children and love them. So you can't. But you're going to give them something that you wouldn't give them if you weren't possessed.
You understand exactly what you're being told, don't you, Carl?
Yes, I do. But, Doctor,
yes.
You sense. Do you go by sense or do you go by...
A knowing...
You know or understand.
It's a knowing, caller. That's not hard to answer.
It's a knowing.
All right. I would say to that person, just being a layman, seek somebody out, eh?
That's right. That's right, I would.
Wildcard line, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hello.
Yes, is it myself?
That's you.
Okay.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Wenatchee, Washington.
All right.
And I had a question, but I just was kind of really thrown off by something. Father Malachi, is it?
Yes.
Okay, pronounce it right. When you're talking about there are many roads to salvation.
Yes.
Am I interpreting that right?
No, I didn't say that. There's only one savior.
Art said that.
And one salvation.
Actually, I think Art said it.
Well, we were talking about people not of the Christian faith, and I said there may be many paths.
Many paths.
But really, there is only one. It's just that it is possible, and the discussion was centering around whether it's possible for somebody not of the Christian faith to be saved, to go to heaven as we all would wish, and the answer was yes.
The answer is yes.
In the way you live your life.
And the mechanism
is there a scripture reference that I might look at, or?
I beg your pardon?
Are you basing that on a scripture reference?
No, I'm not basing it on scripture reference because scripture doesn't contain all the truth I need.
Okay.
I'm basing it on the teaching of the church.
Of the Catholic Church?
Of the Catholic Church, yes. I'm a Catholic priest.
Right. I just wanted to clarify that. I was thrown off, and I thought, and if there's something, I mean, I don't mind you believing whatever you want. No problem at all.
Well, you should. You should really mind what I believe. I'm really mind what you believe, too. I want you to believe the truth, and I want you want me to believe the truth.
Well, I guess maybe whatever.
You're not indifferent to my salvation. I'm not indifferent to your salvation. I want you to be saved, and you want me to be saved.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because hell is a nasty
place. I can't be feckless and say, oh, do what you like, believe what you like. No, 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 no. I want you to believe the truth. And I say that with great love.
Yeah, I didn't want to mislead anybody. When I said many paths, I meant for many people around the world. It is possible to achieve salvation without
formally a Christian. Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hello.
Yeah.
I can barely hear you, ma'am. Where are you?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, right?
Wisconsin, good.
Yeah, I was wondering if you talk to people about God and they get meaner, what's that mean?
All right, if you talk to people about God and they get meaner or they get angry, what does that mean?
It does happen, all right. Sometimes it depends on the person, though. Sometimes people may think you're just preaching at them and they get angry. They don't want to be preached at. Others, because they don't believe in God and they've shooed away from it and they don't want to be reminded of it. There can be various reasons why they get mean, and they shouldn't be mean. They should not get mean.
If there is a particularly violent reaction, then it might have more meaning, mightn't it?
That's right. It might have art, yes. It would, if it is a particularly violent reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And as a Catholic, I often met that in my youth. There's much more prejudice against Catholics. I get a very violent reaction from people. But people are funny, you know.
They are. There was a TV show named that, I think. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Doctor and Art.
Yes, where are you, ma'am?
I'm in Southern California.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My question is, excuse me, what are your thoughts about multiple personality disorder?
MPDs, as we call them.
Yes.
I'll tell you, the experience I've had working with psychiatrists is that the cases we've come across, over 50% are not what traditionally called MPDs. They are a question of multiple demonic possession.
And how would that be determined, which?
Only by exorcism, by trying exorcism. I'll give you one case, concrete case, and I'll do it fast. It's a woman, grandmother, engaged in certain rites, Satanist rites, affecting the life of her grandchild and her own daughter, and doing it in the name of Isabel, one of the personalities, and then suddenly switching to Hilda, and so on, multiple personality. But we decided that it was too Satanist in its tone, and we should try exorcism. And having tried exorcism, we found she was possessed. She entertained these demons.
Oh, my.
Yep.
Doctor, is Satanism growing?
Put it like this, the incidence of Satanism, both the clergy and the police find, seems to be on the increase.
Yes.
It's very hard to know. It seems to be. Is it that it's becoming more open, more flaunting? We don't know. But certainly the incidents are much more frequent nowadays. And you never know. It's very hard to know.
You put that together with an 800% increase in the Northeast where you are in exorcisms.
There does seem there's a special influence. Now, I should, but it's not relevant, perhaps, but I should tell you the attitude of the Roman Catholic Church for a long time has been that this is especially, it's a time of history especially in which Satan, Lucifer, has special liberty, which will end with the year 2000. But it's a part of inner Catholic lore, that.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hello.
Yes, this is Betty in Kansas City.
Hello,
yes, Betty.
Hi. Doctor, did I not understand you to say earlier in the program that many of the young priests nowadays don't believe in a hell?
That's right.
You know, I am the wife of a Baptist preacher.
Yes.
And for years now, my husband and I have had the theory that so many times we hear the love of God preached, but there's no the old-fashioned hell, fire, and brimstone.
I know. That's gone. And from Catholic
school. That's why we're in such trouble today.
I know it is. I agree with you, ma'am.
Yes.
Doctor, it's real, isn't it?
It's as real as the nose on your face, Art. and it's not as beautiful as your nose. But just to make a joke to relieve the tension. Because I shouldn't be making physical references, but it's an expression in Ireland where I grew up.
My nose is an open target. Don't worry about it.
No, it's just it's like as plain as the nose in your face is a famous phrase in Ireland. They're always saying it. It's as plain as the nose in your face that he...
Of course.
But, yes, it's real. It's real. It's too real for words. And it's very, very off-putting. I don't want to end up there.
Well, you know, I haven't read them all, but I've received a lot of... but not a lot, a few angry, very angry faxes.
I'm sure you have.
How dare you, Art, expose the audience to this... old-fashioned, put the fear of God in them, hell and fire and brimstone. You know, people very angry.
Oh, they are. I know they're very angry. And as I say, my reading of the real, really, really, really angry ones is that this disturbs a way of life. This manifests a weakness. This tells the truth about the way they live, and they don't like that to be reminded of it.
Enough said. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hello.
Morning, Art.
Good morning, sir. Where are you?
Kentucky.
All right.
Got one real quick question.
Yes.
For Dr. Malachi. Would you please make some kind of comment or explanation about the Witch of Endor and Saul and Samuel?
There's no doubt about it that the function of the Witch of Endor was what we would say as a channeler, if you know what channeling is nowadays.
Oh, yes.
That's what she was doing. And she was used by Satan to give Saul a sense of despair so that he could commit, so that he finally did commit suicide the following day, mm-hmm. instead of trusting God.
When you speak of channeling, there are many means of channeling. Isn't the Ouija board just another channeling avenue?
Of course. That's what it is.
First time caller line, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin Hyde.
Art, good morning.
Good morning. Where are you?
I'm in Memphis, Tennessee. This is Billy.
Hi, Billy.
Doctor, I'm quoting from Mark 16. It's a bit familiar passage to you. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned.
That's right.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils.
Yes.
It just said that the requirement was there to believe to cast out devils. Where do you... What do you base your premise on that you have to be of special authority to cast out devils?
I'm not saying that you have to be that. We've just had a man talking to us about an hour ago who has none special authority of any church, but he does cast out devils, he says, and there's no reason to disbelieve him. And I've known the singular case of one or two men and women who were able to do it, but they're very rare. In my church, the habit has been for a long time, for about 1,400 years, to do it under the authority of a bishop, because the bishop does represent Christ.
Put it this way, Doctor, as a normal course of events, you would not ask your auto mechanic to perform brain surgery.
That's right. Thank you. That's exactly it.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Dr. Malachi Martin. Hello.
Yes, this is Scott from Wichita.
Yes, Scott.
Yes, I've got a question I'd like to ask the father there, please.
Yes.
The Pope that we have now.
Yes.
Is there any comment that he has made on the one that is to be? He is the predecessor. In other words, is he uncomfortable with the next Pope? And then after you answer that, I got another question.
Well, I doubt if he knows who the next pope is, so he couldn't be uncomfortable with him. You know what I mean? He doesn't. I doubt if he knows who the next pope is.
Okay. One other real quick question, sir, please. A very good friend of mine here that lives in the same building that I do. We talk about what you've been talking about this evening, or this morning, rather.
Yes.
There is two particular demons that I don't know what the names of them are, but he has stated that he has seen one that attacked his wife.
Very quickly, caller.
In a sexual manner.
Yes.
there's one for men and then one for women. Yes. What are those names, please?
I don't know. I don't know.
There is.
I only know the name of two demons. One is Lucifer, the other is Satan. They're distinct demons.
Doctor, we're coming to the end of the program. It has been incredible.
I want to thank you very much for having me.
I want to thank you very much for being here. It has been absolutely incredible. And perhaps one day we will do it again. If not, this will certainly stand as the definitive program we've ever done on this subject. And
I tell you, all you've got to do is to call me and tell me, and I will come to you. I'll do your show again and again and again. It's too much of a privilege to expect it, but I will do it whenever you ask.
Thank you, my friend, and have a good rest.
And God bless you.
Take care. Dr. Malachi Martin. I'll tell you this. I'm sure it is a very, very draining experience to do an exorcism. It's also somewhat draining to talk about it and to grasp over a period of time these concepts and ideas. Very interesting. So I want to thank you all. I'm sorry that we are out of time.
Tonight's program has been released from our archives and is available on tape for $33.50. It's Art Bell and his first interview with Father Malachi Martin. If you'd like a copy of this program on tape, dial toll-free 1-800-917-4278 and ask for tape number 010421C. The cost is $33.50 for all 5 hours without the commercials. That tape number once again, 010421C. To order, call 1-800-917-4278.